Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, though, she's been described as one of the most powerful people in Westminster. We now know she's one of the best paid because the British Prime Minister's Chief of Staff, Sue Gray, received a pay rise after the election, which means she's now paid more than Keir Starmer. The BBC has been told that Sue Gray asked for and was given a salary of £170,000. For more on this, I'm joined by Henry Riley, who's a reporter with LBC News in London. Good morning, Henry.
Good morning.
I believe this has sparked anger amongst Sue Gray's colleagues. Many of them took pay cuts, did they, when compared to their Conservative predecessors, advisers and so on?
That's right. And this is a bit of a growing story, really, with regards Sue Gray. Now, as you say, the legacy of Sue Gray really does follow her around. She's also been described in the past. She had a nickname of Deputy God. She's been described as the most powerful woman in the country. She's a career civil servant. She ran a pub in Newry, in Northern Ireland for a few years. But other than that, has really been a sort of a staple of our civil service, and indeed at a high level. And you're quite right, she received some controversy because she was the Partygate investigator in chief, right? When there was all of these lockdown parties going on in Downing Street, she was assigned to lead this report. And indeed, it was very damning of Boris Johnson and of the government. It then emerged just over a year after that report that she had been approached to be Sir Keir Starmer's chief of staff when he was in opposition. She's now moved into government. And I mean, I think the main issue here is, firstly, on a salary point of view, it doesn't look great because she earns £170,000. It is £3,000 more than the Prime Minister. But crucially, finances are a big issue at the moment because we've had a lot of controversy with the government scrapping for 10 million pensioners the winter fuel payment. So from that point of view, politically, it's difficult for the government. As you say as well, many of her colleagues have received pay cuts. And what is interesting is this, the fact that this story is in the public arena does show some level of discontent. The fact that she earns a good salary, I mean, she would earn far more in the private sector, you would imagine. Mm-hmm. But actually, the most damaging thing for the government is the fact that someone is leaking this information and clearly is unhappy at the heart of government. And actually, when you leak information like that, it's at serious professional risk.
Yeah, and I suppose if there was a rule across the board that the Labour Party advisers and staff should take a pay cut, the question is probably rightly being asked by those people, well, why was Sue Gray the exception to the rule? And has that been answered yet?
It has been asked, and there have been answers. So what happened, I mean, Jonathan Reynolds, our business secretary, was doing the morning media round today. And essentially the line from the government is that the pay bands are totally separate and they've been decided by other people, now by non-political civil servants. The issue with that, though, is that we know that the Sue Gray's predecessor in that role, the Conservative predecessor, was earning close to around £145,000. So a £25,000 uplift is obviously a substantial amount of money. Now, they are still arguing, the government, that actually this is, it's not in Sue Gray's gift and that it's completely separate, and that because she is in that extremely high level, and look, Chief of Staff is a really substantial political operator within Downing Street. That is why, and she's been given this salary. They do also refute these suggestions that she was in some way told that this wasn't a good look and that she could reduce her salary. Downing Street saying that's simply not the case. But we do know that Sue Gray, for instance, has had her battles in the past with Simon Case, who's head of the civil service. No suggestion that he is the leak. And indeed, Downing Street have said they don't believe it's Simon Case. But it's clear that whilst very popular and whilst a very shrewd manoeuvre, she does also have some enemies within the civil service as well.
Mm-hmm. And it is telling, and you've touched on this, that the government is like, what, 2 months in now? But there's a lot of tension there for this to get leaked to the BBC, and disharmony, you know, so early on.
Mm, oh, quite. And I think there was substantially a honeymoon period, as you would expect, particularly given that we've had 14 years of the Conservative government. And Sir Keir Starmer, if you look at polling, it suggested that his response to the riots that we had just a few months ago or a month ago was exceptional, and that it was very popular the way he dealt with it. The issue is now is these allegations of sleaze are coming into it. Look, Sir Keir Starmer was, I mean, for instance, The Guardian yesterday had a story that he's already accepted over £100,000 worth of gifts, mostly Arsenal football tickets, but also glasses, for instance, and suits. And his wife, Lady Starm, has been in the press as well because she's accepted this from Lord Ali, who's a Labour donor who at one point did have a pass. So the issue is, look, in and of itself, is Keir Starmer trying to create headlines with this? Of course he's not. He wants to be the antithesis of sleaze. He wants to show a clear dividing line with Rishi Sunak, Boris Johnson, the previous 14 years of Conservative government. But I think what we're learning is that in practice, it does mean making some perhaps tougher decisions that I think Keir Starmer initially thought he was going to have to make.
Yeah, it asks questions about political cop-on right at the top, doesn't it? In particular, accepting those donations for clothes, both for himself and his wife. I mean, in what universe is that ever going to look good?
Well, quite, and I felt wrong. I mean, look, Keir Starmer's front bench colleagues have been sent out to answer the political stories of the day, and inevitably this has come up. And what is interesting, Claire, is that, for instance, David Lammy, the foreign secretary, was saying, well, if you look at the United States, the First Lady has a clothing allowance, the President has a huge expense. I mean, no expense is spared when it comes to the sort of the attire of the US President. That's not the case in the UK. But what's interesting is another Labour colleague, Dame Angela Eagle, the migration minister, was also put out and didn't really go as much on the sort of defensive as David Lammy did, and said, well, you'd have to ask Keir Starmer. So it's clear there's a bit of tension about it among some of Keir Starmer's own ministers as well. And the fact that there is this transparency in government that perhaps you don't get in opposition. The old David Cameron saying was that sunlight is the best form of disinfectant, i.e. you get it all out in the open. Now, I'm sure Labour colleagues would argue that perhaps he had questions to answer as well. But the whole story here, I think, is someone who is not a politician by trade, Keir Starmer, getting used to political operations.
Yeah, and look, we shouldn't forget the pressure on women in particular who are in the public eye, you know, and there were articles written about what his wife was wearing on his first day in office and so on. All of that is there. He doesn't have the personal wealth of Rishi Sunak and his family. So, you know, you can argue it both ways, can't you?
Yeah, you can. I think that's a really good point because, like you say, I mean, Carrie Johnson, for example, who was the partner of Boris Johnson, would frequently re-wear the same outfit and was praised in some of the right-leaning newspapers saying that Carrie Simmons, as she was then, was being extremely environmentally friendly, and that she sort of understood that the sort of cost pressures, and she was seen to have dealt with that, you know, in a rather positive way.
Well, she rented some of her clothes, I think, as well, didn't she?
Yes, absolutely. And so that was framed in a very positive way. Lady Starmer, on the other hand, is not the same. I mean, look, Carrie Simmons worked in Conservative politics before, right? Lady Starmer works for the NHS. She has no desire to be in politics. Now, when you speak to people in Downing Street, they do say, look, she understands that she has to go with the Prime Minister to various gala dinners and some important events, but she really doesn't want to be in the public arena. But what I think is interesting, Claire, is, I mean, I was talking with a former advisor to Sarah Brown the other day, who of course, Gordon Brown's wife. And actually, they made a comment to me that Gordon Brown and indeed Sarah Brown were actually offered free suits and free dresses as well. And he turned it down because he was aware that with the global financial crash, it would look bad. And so I do think it's interesting, perhaps slightly more of a shrewd political operator, Gordon Brown, realising back then that it wouldn't be a great look.
Yeah, that's the political instinct thing, isn't it? Henry, thanks so much. It's fascinating and good to talk to you as always. Henry Riley there, who's reporter with LBC News in London. Now, Canadians have the right to end their lives in very certain circumstances. Next, we're going to meet a doctor working there in end-of-life care.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.